Today, I'm welcoming onto Radio Gorgeous a healer based in Chelsea in London. She specialises in energy healing, which is a gentle, relaxing therapy that can be extremely effective at treating physical, emotional and spiritual ailments. She's been studying healing for over 30 years and she is now a fully practising healer. She is Georgia Coleridge and today we're talking about her book, The Chakra Project, how the healing power of energy can transform your life. Hi, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi, Josephine. Such a pleasure to be on lovely, gorgeous Radio Gorgeous.
So what are the chakras?
What are the chakras? The chakras are the chakras were first mentioned in ancient Indian texts where they started writing about yoga. And according to the Indians, the body has got a lot of energy running through energy meridians. And where these energy meridians cross, they're called chakras. They're a little bit like roundabouts in a road system. And we have hundreds of them on the palms of our hands, on the soles of our feet. Everywhere, but people talk about the seven main ones that go from the base of our spine to the crown of our head, and they all mean different things and they're associated with different colours.
And also they're an interesting shape, aren't they? Aren't they always, if they're healthy, they're always moving, aren't they, in a spiral?
Yeah, very, very good. Yes, so chakra is translated as wheel, so they spin and they draw energy in and out of our body. And yeah, you can imagine like windows in a house. When a window is very clean and you can open and close it, the room inside will feel good. But if a window is stuck and blocked and has net curtains and shutters and is blocked by all sorts of old rubbish, then the room inside won't feel very healthy.
And you talked about how we imagine them. What if we find visualizing difficult? Because everything you're saying is a visualization. What if we can't imagine these things in our body? How can we start improving that?
That is a very, very good question, because if you put your body under a microscope, you wouldn't find a chakra. So energy is difficult to imagine. Unless there seem to be two different types of healers. There are some who are people who can see, and as soon as their client walks into the room, they can see colours, they can see shapes, they can see if the person's very, very shiny or if their energy is stuck and slow and sluggish. I can see energy a little bit, but I am much more of a feeler. So when I put my hand over someone's heart chakra or throat chakra, I can feel if it feels a bit sludgy and cloudy and dense, or if it feels clean and clear. Like a clean, clear chakra to me feels like cool mountain air early in the morning, you know, that lovely, lovely feeling. So working on your own chakras, you could use whatever suits you best. So you could close your eyes and scan your body from the inside and see if you get any sensations. That's if you're a feeler. Or you could scan your body and imagine seeing colours, seeing shapes. And if the colours and shapes come up in your mind's eye, then you'll get a good sense of what they're doing.
Fantastic. So tell us about chakra flow. What's that?
Chakra flow. So do you know the kind of actually, frankly, rather annoying people who have no trouble doing anything? If there are suddenly 20 people coming to dinner, they can knock up a dinner. If they decide to start a business, they can get it off the ground easily. They are people who are right in their flow. It's like they're in a little boat on the river, and they're in exactly the right place, and their boat goes to exactly where it should.
Must have hardly ever met anyone like that in the world.
But there are some people who just, whatever they do, life flows for them. For most of the rest of us, we get blocked, and we also block ourselves with fears, self-sabotage. And I often get blocked in my tummy. I get a bit overwhelmed.
That's exactly where I get mine as well. Yeah.
And that is, that particular chakra in the upper tummy is the solar plexus, and that is our willpower, and that's that forward, that desire to move ourselves forward. And if I do get a little bit blocked or scared or stuck, and I work on opening up that chakra and cleaning it out, I find it's much easier to do whatever it is I need to do, whether it's something incredibly basic and dull or something big and important. So if you have butterflies in your tummy or headaches or a funny feeling in your lower tummy, that is probably a sign that that particular chakra needs a clear out. And when it's cleared out, your body's, how can I explain it? Your body is a little bit like, do you remember Josephine when your children were playing the recorder at junior school? Do you remember that terrible recorder noise? Okay, but the more little holes they can use, that the more little holes they can cover with their fingers, the more tunes they play. So they start off with just one hole, and chakras are a little bit like all the holes in the recorder. When we use them all, we can play a lot more tunes, and the flow is like the air going through the recorder.
I think the colours are a very interesting thing, because it is the colours of a rainbow. And so it just means that how ancient, you know, is this kind of colour spectrum. And the Indians obviously kind of got hold of this. And it's incredible that's still the same colours and that's the rainbow.
Funnily enough, the rainbow colours is actually more of a Western tradition. And it makes logical sense, because the base chakra is associated with red, which is the lowest and slowest colour vibration, and the top chakra on the crown is violet, which is the other end of the rainbow spectrum. I think the ancient Indian texts were different ones, but the rainbow certainly makes sense to me. And when I have my hand over someone's crown chakra, it feels very, very light, very ethereal. In terms of music, it's like choir boys in cathedrals, whereas the bass chakra feels like a very deep bass drum. It feels lower and slower.
It's so interesting. So chakras can be three things: either balanced, weak, or damaged, or overdeveloped. Can you explain these?
Absolutely. So you can have too much of a good thing. So you can have someone with a very balanced throat chakra, and they speak, but they also listen. And if you're having a conversation with them, there's back and forth. But someone whose chakra is blocked, can't speak up in a meeting, can't really speak up to their family, has lumps in their throat, bites their tongue, gets sore throats, that's a blocked one. But an overdeveloped chakra can be just as annoying. God, you know, all those people on the train, you know, the people who shout, "I'm on my mobile," or the man you sit next to at dinner who just, you ask him one question, he won't shut up. That is an overdeveloped throat chakra, and that is too much. So ideally, we have a nice balance. And
so very interesting. It's about listening as well.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. Is becoming aware of chakras a good way to learn to tune into ourselves and others? Do you think that's like a starting point of knowing how we feel in a way?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. It's what I love about... There's so many ways of understanding ourselves and understanding our energy. And chakras is a nice one, because it has the whole system. If you remember, I was talking about the deep base chakra and the very ethereal high light one, and both are equally as important. A lot of religions are just about becoming finer and lighter, more and more good, and going up to heaven. And
yeah, the golden halo. Yeah.
And the golden halo. Mm-hmm. Whereas chakras, the chakra system says that everything's important. The heart chakra is important. The ability to love and be loved is important. It's not just about going off and sitting in a cave and being fine and light and meditating. It's also about earning a living, paying a mortgage, feeding the children, being creative, painting, speaking. It's a whole system, and by looking at each chakra, you get a little sense of different aspects. And we all tend to have one or two chakras that are working really well, and then by putting a bit of focus attention on the others, we can open them, or if in the case of the throat chakra, close them down a bit.
What's fantastic is your book gives these kind of visualizations and guided kind of talks. On the way here, I was feeling kind of like anxious. I've just come back from on holiday yesterday. I've sort of had 20 things to do this morning, the usual running around, had to write the interview, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I just thought, right, I'm now going to read the base chakra meditation. So I sat on the tube and I imagined the earth and my feet were going all the way down in a root system. And then when I was breathing out, I was breathing in all the kind of earth, and I was breathing. Anyway, it was just fantastic. In fact, even now I'm thinking my foot, just to kind of keep myself balanced now, my foot is earthing. And I really find the visualizations and the kind of information in your book fascinating.
That's so kind of me, and it's the most exciting thing that you did that little visualization on the tube. God, how fabulous. I'm a great believer, by the way, in protecting our energy on the tube, because I think that when you sit on the tube and you're just sitting in a soup of other people's energy, it can get a little bit overwhelming.
So tell us a little thing we can do to kind of help ourselves before we go on public transport.
Public transport. So the root meditation you did is really, really good. So as you breathe out, imagine that you're sending a couple of energetic roots from the soles of your feet or from the base of your spine down into the earth. And it doesn't matter that you're on a moving tube. It doesn't actually even matter if you are on a moving aeroplane.
That's a very good time to do it when you're feeling a bit panicked.
Yes. Yeah. You could also, two meditations I love. At the end of the day, if you're feeling a bit blah because you've picked up a lot of stuff from other people, as you stand in the shower, imagine that there's light coming down with the water, cleaning you out. Mm. And it's just sort of rather miraculous how much better you feel. At the beginning of the day, if you're going into a difficult situation, you can imagine putting yourself in a bubble of protection. Very, very tough people have this bubble all the time. I don't want to be sexist here, but I think on the whole, women tend to be more empathetic and a little bit more open to other people's emotion, and men tend to be better at putting that bubble. And I think if we're going to be out in the world, we sometimes need to protect ourselves a little bit.
But also, the man needs to lower his protection level to be able to communicate to a woman or the family.
Well, this is a whole, this is a whole new discussion, yes. Yes. But a lot of my healing clients are women, and I do a lot. I'm actually really I'm a cleaning lady, so I specialise in finding all sorts of energy that's sitting around in people's chakras, you know, rather like sitting in the vents of their window. And mostly the people who come to me are mothers, and they are carrying the weight of their family on their shoulders and over their heart. And it's quite amazing how much women take on, and they feel so much lighter and better.
And which chakra are they kind of having that heaviness on?
There's a lot on the heart. There's a lot on the heart. Wow. But actually there's a lot on all sorts of different chakras. It depends on the person. It depends how earthy they are. It depends on all sorts of different things.
Now, I tell you something, that I have a thing that I've had to, in the middle of the night, I kind of have to go onto my stomach and lie down, and it sort of protects here, my orange chakra. Yeah. But I've just started going to a chiropractor who said, I can't do that anymore. So I've been waking up every night having massive sort of feelings there. And I looked in your book and it said about childhood.
Okay.
So I woke up in the night last night and I did the child, making friends with your child visualisation. Yeah. And it went away immediately.
Josephine, yeah. You are just the most marvellous reader. Thank you so much. That's so exciting. So the orange chakra is, if you remember the colour of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, moving upwards from the bottom. So the orange one is called your sacral chakra. It's in your lower stomach, and it can be linked with childhood and a lot of other wonderful things, creativity and experiencing streams of emotion. And the meditation you were talking about, the little visualization, is taking yourself back with your right hand side of your brain, which is your imaginative, intuitive, creative side of the brain, and taking yourself back to perhaps to see your 8-year-old self or your 6-year-old self, and talking to that little part of yourself that perhaps is still feeling anxious, that can be stuck there. And it's so simple, and I'm so happy that your tummy ache went.
No, it was really good. But yeah, that's obviously one place that I felt it a lot. Another place is when I started doing yoga 8 years ago. Yeah. My throat chakra, just every time I did it, I lay down at the end at the savasa, it just came up. And so I just used to visualize like gold light on it all the time, and also let myself feel it. Because I think it's another thing that people do. If people kind of are in denial about a feeling, they kind of, oh, I don't want to go there. Or it's actually, I've got to sit with this and feel it and go through it. Would you say?
Amazing, amazing. And I think that's one of the best things about yoga, because all sorts of stuff comes up in your body, doesn't it? And then if you're doing really well in yoga, you do that lovely quiet breathing, and it's almost like reassuring that part of your body that it's fine. and then allowing that feeling to come through. How fascinating about your throat, especially as you've been a singer.
Yes, I know I've been a singer. But I had I had very difficult childhood, and I found that I didn't have a voice in my family.
Okay.
And then I married quite a bouncy man who has strong personality, and I think it was just all coming out.
Yes. Well, that's probably why you married him, probably to have a good, you know, have a good look at that childhood thing and really scrub out the bottom of the pot.
Okay, so tell us about, I know we're going off the book, but tell us about kind of past life regression and things like that.
Okay, so if you had been brought up as a Buddhist or a Hindu, it would be completely normal, the idea that you come back many, many times, and you might first be a woman with 17 children, and the next time come back as a woman with no children at all, and the next time you come back as a knight, particularly kind of bloodthirsty knight in a battlefield, and the next time come back as a beggar with no power at all. And I was talking about the chakras as being a complete system. The Buddhist or the Hindu wheel is that you pick up every experience on the wheel. It's like every colour in the colour palette or every note in the orchestra. And with the past lives, when you do what you're supposed to do in that incarnation and you die quite peacefully and happily, you can go on and do something completely different. But if you die in a very, very painful or traumatic way, sometimes your soul can't absorb it. And those are it's the tricky past lives that tend to come up in healing sessions. And
can you give us an example?
Yes. So for example, somebody who finds in this life that they have a lot of trouble with their throat and can't speak up in their family. This has actually happened quite a few times with different clients. We've gone back into a past life and my mind goes curiously blank when I'm finding out what it is, but often there's an internal logic to the story, and quite often it turns out that they've been strangled, or they've or a stillborn baby, or there's been something around the throat, or they've been garroted from behind, or they've been smothered, they've had something over their face. And so a small thing that happens in this life, like not being able to speak up when you're a child at the breakfast table, seems much, much bigger because the past life is still cruising along under the waterline like a shark, making whatever is happening now seem much bigger and more scary.
So tell me, Georgia, when you go into past life, what is your experience?
Oh, we're really onto a huge topic here. There are two ways that I know about of sorting out past lives. One is for me to tune in with my healing client and to get the story. And I use kinesiology for that, which is using getting yes-no answers.
What, they go into kind of like an unconscious, a bit like a meditative state?
I don't know if you know about kinesiology, but it's a way of using body testing. You get yes and no answers from your muscles. You can also use a pendulum or dowsing to get yes, no. And
amazing.
I piece together the story.
Amazing.
And sometimes it's enough that the stories come up and that the person realises on a conscious level that that was a past life and that it's finished. Sometimes we go in and we do a visualization, and they go in and they comfort the person and they go and talk to their past life character. sometimes we just clear that energy out of there. That's all that needs to happen. It just needs to clear out of the energy field. But there's a more exciting way of doing it, which I'm actually still training, which is based on Roger Wolger's amazing deep memory process, where you go into your past life, and that is completely fascinating, and I would so recommend any of your listeners try it, because it's just extraordinary, and use a lot of psychodrama. And
so you must know one of your past lives, Georgia, because you're a student. Come on, tell us one.
I probably didn't want to be a healer, but I was pushed into being a healer by all sorts of different things, and I went through all sorts of terror, and whenever I went for any healing work with anyone else, they didn't take me, they didn't regress me into a past life, but they'd say, oh my goodness, I'm getting an image of you in a past life, and you're a bishop with slightly contentious religious stuff. Oh, and you're being dragged off to be killed. Oh, you're a healer. Oh, and you're dragged off to be tortured. Oh, you're a white witch and you're being dragged off the ducking stool. So there's absolute visceral fear of revealing myself as a healer, because I think I've probably been a healer quite a few times and it's ended badly.
Okay, so
it's going well so far.
Let's hope the book sells. Now, I just want to know about, so this is so interesting. Sorry, I've really, really got me going. So you tell us about how you got into healing, because obviously it was a traumatic experience.
So I'm very, very sensitive. And by the way, if anyone wants to know about that deep memory process, I really suggest that you go and look at Roger Woolger's books. There's a wonderful one called Other Lives, Other Selves. So when I was little, my tummy reacted to divorcing parents and to really anything that was going on at home or at school. I would get a lot of tummy aches and I'd get very, very tired. And I now realise it was just my body acting like a dowsing rod, or just responding to other people's unhappy energy. But I was very, 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 very tired. And so in my 20s, I went off to lots and lots of different people to sort out why I was so exhausted. And
what, you thought you might even have ME sort of thing?
No, I didn't have ME, but I was just unusually tired. I was always very cheerful and optimistic, but physically exhausted. Mm. And I did try a lot of different things. I love reflexology, but it was the energy thing that really suited me. And I loved it when people could identify something so clearly and clear me out.
And so what happened? What was your eureka moment?
Oh, didn't probably have any eureka moment, but we did have a house that was full of ghosts. And my darling husband was the one who was very sensitive to them, even though he doesn't believe in them. A lot of my family see them. And we had 4 small children, and he kept complaining about them, and I was very unsympathetic, and but I had to get it sorted, and I was actually very sceptical, but all sorts of psychic people told me things about the house, and I kept saying, well, that's not true, and then I find from the local historian or the local builder or the local maps that everything they'd said was completely true, which was a bit freaky. And then I went round with a marvellous man called Terry O'Sullivan, and we did the house, we did the garden, we did the land, and we did all sorts of places. And every spot that he said was very dark, my tummy was going absolutely mad, and it was the first time I consciously realised that I could use these strange body responses to detect something that needed to be healed and cleared and sorted.
Wow. So you were literally guided to that house, weren't you, to find it?
I think we were guided to that house,
So this is just... I'm sorry, I'm in shock. I'm in shock again about this. So you are a healer from your stomach then, you're a feeling healer.
I'm a feeler healer.
Okay, healer, yes. Now I want to ask about family, because you said a few of my family. So do you come from a spiritual family?
I come from a very open-minded family. My father loves telling us all about how he was staying in a castle in Scotland when he was 17, and a beautiful girl in a green dress came into his bedroom in the middle of the night, and he thought, whoa, I've struck lucky. And then she walked towards him, and he was getting very excited, and then she walked through the wall, and he lay terrified under the bedclothes all night. And apparently she was called Green Jean, and she's been walking into men's bedrooms for the last 300 or 400 years.
And no one's ever got lucky.
No one's ever got lucky. Well, maybe they got lucky in the beginning, I don't know. And then his father saw ghosts, and my great grandmother was a mem sahib in India. She was a general's wife, and the post would arrive from London, and she'd say, oh, how marvellous, your Aunt Molly has left you a legacy. And looking at people's unopened posts, and she got in terrible trouble for it, because you weren't supposed to behave like that when you were a respectable general's wife. So yes, there's quite a lot in my family. But I never thought I would say, I always thought I was very kind of rational and bookish and sceptical, but my body had other ideas.
It's fabulous. So since you started healing, has it helped you personally?
So much, so much. So I feel incredibly well now. I feel full of energy. I had all sorts of food intolerances, things I couldn't digest. I think the poor tummy just couldn't cope with it all. And also now I can go to, I can go to parties and have a wonderful time, because I know how to protect my energy as well.
Yeah, do you think, you were drawing on everybody else's energy, weren't you? Wherever you went, you're like a sponge.
I was Velcro woman, yes.
Okay, so can you tell us about, you do a lot of women, can you tell us a kind of a recent kind of story of a woman that you've healed that would be interesting to Radio Gorgeous listeners?
So without betraying anyone's confidentiality, Well, as I mentioned before, just the majority of my clients tend to be women, and they tend to be about my age. I'm 53, and they're often the most calm, sane, loving, sensible members of their entire extended family. And we often start by clearing the family energy that they're carrying, their children's worries and their partner's worries. And then as we work outwards, we sometimes find that they're carrying energy from their parents, from their and their brothers and sisters, from their childhood. And then perhaps the third session, we might get into ancestral energy and perhaps past life energy. So ancestral is really interesting. So that's stuff that's, you know, say your grandparents were Jewish and have been through all sorts of pogroms, or your great-grandmother lost babies, or, you know, I mean, terrible things have happened in human history, and some people do carry that ancestral energy, and it's their job to clear it for their extended family.
It's just so fascinating. Now, I also, the word clearing is used a lot.
Oh, sorry, yes. I
want to, can you describe what clearing is?
Well, I guess because I'm such a feeler, I feel energy which is not someone's own energy as little blobs, little clouds. It doesn't feel solid, but it just feels like something tangible sitting around, you know, perhaps over their heart or over their throat or over their third eye. And so there are all sorts of ways to get rid of it.
Nearly so clear again.
Get rid of it. And so sometimes I would, like, take this little cloud, pick it up in my hands and put it out of the window. Weirdly, it feels quite heavy as I'm carrying it. Or sometimes we'd use light, get them to imagine a big beam of light swooping down from the top of the head and beaming down onto their whole body and dissolving it. We could use colour. Some people are quite fiery. It works really well for them to imagine a big fireball coming and burning it up. Mm. In fact, different people respond to different words. So I have one client who's an architect, and we imagined giving her builders a big snag list and giving her builders, you know, instructions to remove the silicon that they left round the basins and scraping it off and polishing it.
Fabulous.
Another lady who grows a lot of flowers, we imagined putting a lot of flower petals in her energy field and allowing the flower petals to soak up this energy that wasn't hers. And then I took it and put it out of the window. And somebody else who's a musician, we imagined, in fact, I think she actually sang. We imagined this. I think I got her to sing. I think I'm going to sing because she was coming up with exactly the vibration and the note that was needed. So
every person, you're on a different journey with, Georgia, aren't you?
Every person a different journey. Mm. And it's all about tapping into that right side of the brain, that visual, intuitive, imaginative. And it doesn't really matter if it's your imagination or not, if it works. But we've all been trained so much to use our logical, rhetorical...
Yeah, because that's one thing I often ask, brain. Because when I was younger, I was young and I felt very strongly everything. My orange chakra was all about self-expression. I was obsessed, you know, with sort of... I am, you know, here, telling everybody. Then I had children, and then I got postnatal depression. And since that, my intuition is sort of, I'd love to get it more developed. Is there any way we could sort of get it going again?
Get your intuition developed. Mm. And I'm noticing that you're touching your upper tummy, which, funny enough, is your yellow chakra.
Oh.
It's the yellow one.
It's the solar plexus.
Okay. Which is your willpower, and it's incredible focus. It's that fire to bring you forward, which I think does get a little bit damped down by having children in a very lovely way. I think it probably makes one a bit less selfish.
Yeah.
And it opens out all sorts of other extraordinary experiences. I think it's quite amazing the way that... I love the way that as women we get pregnant, you know, our tummies go out, our tummies go in, we have monthly cycles, we have hormones. I think we're very fluid on the whole. Again, I don't want to be sexist, but I think we're very fluid, and I think we experience a huge amount. Mm. And perhaps that's why women have to look after their energy and their emotions more than men do. But I think we end up travelling further.
So how would you develop intuition?
There are two kinds of intuition. So there's gut intuition, which is exactly
that's what I had. I would always know when someone was bad, someone was good.
You knew.
Yeah. And now it's gone, that.
Now it's gone. Mm. Mm. There's also your higher intuition, which is your third eye. So where an Indian lady would wear her little red bindi between her eyebrows on her forehead. And that's a knowing. But a gut intuition is it's a very visceral body sensation, isn't it?
I feel it so strongly. Yeah. And I was always right.
And you're always right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so quick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Such a useful one.
It was a flip in my flip.
It was a flip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. Will you be very welcome to come for a little spring clean and get out my marigolds and we can have a little spring clean and we can see if there's...
I'm wondering whether now, because my husband keeps telling me, you're wise. I'm wondering now whether it has gone up, whether that was... sort of in my 20s and 30s, and now I'm sort of 55. It has risen, suggesting.
Might have done. That. It's so interesting. You see, I'm longing now to
touch me. She wants to touch me, everybody.
I don't even want to touch her, folks. But I love to tune. Shall I do a little tune in and see if...
Definitely. We'll do it after.
We'll do it afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. So the Chakra Project is published by Asta. And if you'd like to make an appointment with Georgia, go to georgiacoleridgehealing.com. You will always find life-changing women on Radio Gorgeous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. That was so much fun. Thank you.